This is Nick Nugent with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Monday, August 3rd, 2020. Today, you will hear about President Trump's threat to ban the popular TikTok app, Hong Kong's decision to delay parliamentary elections, and breaking developments in the area of cervixes. Yes, you heard that last one right. Our first story. President Trump has promised to ban TikTok because of national security concerns. Trump made the statement to reporters while aboard Air Force One on Friday night, saying, "As far as TikTok is concerned, we're banning them from the United States." The short-form video sharing app is the first Chinese social media platform to gain significant traction with users outside of China. It was downloaded some 315 million times in the first quarter of 2020, more quarterly downloads than any other app in history. And it boasts over 100 million users in the U.S. alone, a large percentage of which are between the ages of 16 and 24. TikTok is owned by Beijing-based company ByteDance, but operates as an independent subsidiary with an American CEO and corporate offices all over the world. Policymakers fear that TikTok's ownership by a Chinese company could present a national security risk to the United States. They worry that data collected on U.S. users could end up in the hands of China's communist government. TikTok claims that any data it collects on U.S. users is stored entirely outside of China, and its CEO has said the company has never provided user data to the Chinese government and would not do so if asked. Further, TikTok exited Hong Kong after China passed its controversial national security law, clamping down on civil liberties in the special administrative region. But these claims and actions have not assuaged President Trump, who has shown a willingness to take a stronger stand than previous administrations against China companies he has viewed as a threat to national security. The Navy and Army have already banned TikTok on government-issued phones, and the Pentagon has advised employees to remove the app as well. Even Joe Biden's campaign warned personnel to delete it. In June, India banned TikTok and a handful of other Chinese apps following a deadly border skirmish between Indian and Chinese soldiers. ByteDance, TikTok's corporate parent, has offered to sell its U.S. operations to an American company to address the U.S. government's concerns. ByteDance initially proposed maintaining only a minority stake in the new corporation. It later offered to sell its U.S. operations outright. Multiple companies have expressed interest, including Microsoft, which appears to be the leading contender if a deal is approved. However, President Trump's latest comments seem to indicate that he would not approve even a full divestiture, but seems intent on banning the app outright. So armed with these facts, how should we analyze the situation? Well, fundamentally, we're faced with three questions. Is TikTok indeed a national security threat? If so, does President Trump have the authority to ban it? Finally, should he ban it? As to the first question, it's no surprise that if we ask different experts, we'll get different answers. Now, TikTok's CEO claims the company has never provided user data to the Chinese government. And having worked in tech law for over a decade, I think we can take that statement at face value. There could be significant legal penalties for lying about something like that. And although governments can and do sometimes put gag orders on companies when they demand user data, gagged companies typically respond to the public by stating that they cannot disclose information about such requests, rather than falsely claiming they've never received any requests in the first place. But just because the Chinese government hasn't demanded TikTok user data thus far, doesn't mean it won't do so in the future. We seem to be running headlong into a cyber cold war with China, and we could by no means put it past the Chinese communist government to try to get its hands on personal data related to more than 100 million Americans. TikTok claims it doesn't store U.S. user data in China, and therefore the Chinese government lacks physical access. Fine, but governments compel tech companies to produce data stored abroad all the time. In 2018, the United States passed the Cloud Act to do just that with respect to American companies, so there's no reason to think communist China couldn't do what American law enforcement already does. Sure, much of the data will be cat videos and living room dance moves, hardly the stuff of state secrets. But researchers have found instances of spyware in TikTok that are able to grab every conceivable amount of information that can be accessed by an app, including IP address, geolocation, and other apps you've installed, and of course, your name and email address. It's certainly more information than the U.S. government has right now about your phone. But more than privacy, the bigger concern is TikTok's ability to influence content and therefore sentiment in the United States. The Guardian and the Washington Post have both reported that TikTok employees have been instructed or pressured to clamp down on user statements that Beijing would view as subversive, including critiques of socialism and Tiananmen Square. And that makes sense. TikTok and ByteDance still have hundreds of employees in mainland China. What if the Chinese government finds subversive user content on TikTok and decides to punish China-based TikTok employees for it? Of course they'd have an interest to protect against that. If we're concerned about Russian interference in the election through Facebook, then it's not out of the question to be concerned about Chinese interference through TikTok. Okay, but does Trump have the authority to ban TikTok? Well, not outright, but he has several legal options at his disposal that might be just as effective. The Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, CFIUS, has the power to block investments on U.S. companies on national security grounds. CFIUS could force ByteDance to divest TikTok's U.S. business or restructure in other ways to place TikTok's U.S. data outside of ByteDance's reach. President Trump could place TikTok on the Commerce Department's entity list, which would prevent U.S. companies from exporting technological products to ByteDance and might cause other business partners to distance themselves from the Chinese company as well. The U.S. could force Apple and Google to remove TikTok from their app stores. While this wouldn't affect existing installations and technical users could still sideload the app, it would cause the app to all but disappear for the average U.S. user. Finally, the FTC could simply fine TikTok if it finds the company to be engaging in bad behavior, such as it did in 2019 when it slapped a $5.7 million penalty on TikTok for illegally collecting children's data. But should Trump ban it? While the U.S. would probably be no worse for lack of another meme-sharing monument to superficiality, and might even be better, it seems unnecessary to ban it outright. ByteDance has offered to hand over full control to U.S. companies, and several trustworthy companies have stepped up for just that purpose. It therefore seems unnecessary and unfair to destroy all that capital value that ByteDance and thousands of employees have worked to create. Could ByteDance act as an arm of the Chinese government? Sure, but it hasn't yet, and so it seems unnecessary to nuke it out of existence when other productive options are still available. But chances are, a palatable solution for all parties will ultimately be found. And so, turning now to lessons from this saga, we could probably all agree that China only continues to hurt itself through its totalitarian and globally aggressive conduct. While the Chinese Communist Party might not lose sleep over winning friends and influencing foreign nations, the result is that other countries will increasingly suspect, restrict, and ultimately ban Chinese companies who may be innocent by themselves. Chinese behavior will continue to hurt its company's global prospects. The result will likely be a standoff, at least as it concerns tech. China will continue to give domestic companies an unfair advantage in mainland China, and democratic nations will progressively shut Chinese companies out. Idealists once believed the internet would liberate the people of China from their oppressors. But with China now building its own internet, that hope has long since died. We'll see two internets in the future, one of pro-democratic nations and another of totalitarian regimes like China, Russia, and North Korea. And so what happens to TikTok might be just another step along that journey. As for President Trump, while we hope he doesn't ban TikTok outright, it would also reflect poorly on him if he didn't. One should never issue a threat he doesn't intend to fulfill. We need smart action by the commander-in-chief, not bluster and bravado. In related news, the Hong Kong government announced that it is postponing parliamentary elections for a full year due to a rise in coronavirus infections. The Chinese government said it supports the decision, which was made, quote, in the interest of the public. Hong Kong is currently experiencing a spike in COVID-19 infections and reported 121 new cases on Friday. However, the opposition has accused the government of using the pandemic as a pretext to stop people from voting. In last year's district council elections, pro-democracy candidates won 17 out of 18 councils, and it looked like pro-democracy candidates were poised to win a number of seats on Hong Kong's legislative council as resistance to Beijing's new national security law continues to grow. This would obviously be a major blow to the Chinese government as it tries to crack down on the idea of a free Hong Kong. And so the Chinese government has been working to clamp down on anti-Beijing sentiment in multiple ways. On Thursday, it banned 12 pro-democracy candidates from running in the elections. But the COVID pandemic has provided new tools to limit opposition. The city has introduced strict social distancing requirements and banned gatherings of more than two people. It's hard to protest with only two people. Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam, who is widely regarded as beholden to Beijing interests, stated that the postponement was made entirely based on public safety reasons and that there were no political considerations. But does the data support that? Hong Kong has had more than 100 new COVID cases for 10 days in a row as part of a third wave of infections. But the overall numbers, Hong Kong has experienced only 27 COVID deaths thus far, are still lower than other jurisdictions in the world that are nonetheless continuing with elections on schedule. According to the International Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance, at least 68 countries or territories have postponed elections due to COVID-19, while 49 places have held elections as planned. The decision also gives rise to a potential constitutional crisis. Under local election laws, the polls can only be postponed for 14 days, not for a full year. While the Hong Kong government could simply extend the delay every 14 days, to do so would cause elected officials to serve longer than 4 years, which is not permitted by the basic law, Hong Kong's de facto constitution. One member of Lam's executive council has suggested invoking the Legislative Ordinance's Section 11 and calling only emergency meetings. Another member of China's National People's Congress suggested that Beijing's legislature could appoint a caretaker legislature for the interim period. Either option seems ominous, to say the least. While the White House condemned the decision, commentators have pounced on the president for rebuking Hong Kong after he suggested delaying U.S. elections on Twitter, noting, quite rightly, that his tweet left the U.S. with less moral authority to complain. Philip Klein of the Washington Examiner floated the possibility that Hong Kong's decision to announce the move a mere day after President Trump's tweet was not accidental. Quote, "Given how Beijing approaches public relations and diplomacy, it's difficult to avoid wondering whether they purposely made the announcement now to take advantage of the cover provided by Trump's tweet. The tweet may have been meant as a joke to wind up the media and his opponents rather than a genuine proposal. But even under this interpretation, it is yet another example of how Trump's irresponsible use of Twitter can have real-world consequences." End quote. It is of course possible to vote for Donald Trump and support his policies while criticizing his reckless remarks and lack of self-control. Proverbs 25:11 says, "Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances." We'd all do well to think carefully about our tweets, our Facebook comments, our offhand remarks and moments of impulsiveness, especially those of us in positions of influence. China may have found reason to cancel elections, even in times of perfect health and without Trump's injudicious remarks. But if his tweet played any role, he should think more carefully about how freedom and ultimately lives in Hong Kong could easily turn on a single tweet. And we should pray that he takes that responsibility more seriously in the future, just as we pray that we take our own tongues and typing seriously. Finally, social media is ablaze with mockery of the American Cancer Society's recommendation that individuals with a cervix begin cancer screening at age 25. If this term, individuals with a cervix, confused you because you thought only women had cervixes, you're not alone. As explained by Alexandra DeSantis at the National Review, quote, "For those who aren't up to date on the latest intersectional lingo, individuals with a cervix is one of the approved progressive ways to refer to biological women, as it supposedly takes into account transgender and non-binary individuals. So, for instance, a biological woman who identifies as a man might still be an individual with a cervix, and using this phrase includes such a person, while the word woman would not." End quote. While this reasoning, which DeSantis explains but does not endorse, may seem absurd on its face, we should note that this position is completely logical if we start with the foundational premises of transgenderism. If we assume that a person may choose his or her own gender, then it inexorably follows that we cannot refer to the sexes when discussing sex-specific biology. Women can sport prostate glands, men can become pregnant, and either can have cervixes. We not only find ourselves tongue-tied when trying to reference basic biology, but we obliterate the sexes and the particular responsibilities and burdens specific to each. As J.K. Rowling explained when mocking another reference to people who menstruate, if sex isn't real, the lived reality of women globally is erased. It isn't hate to speak the truth. But the changes in language that are absolutely necessitated by the transgender ideology will have another effect. The nation, and perhaps the world, will soon be clearly divided into two camps: those who bow the knee to the agendered order and those who don't. With other ideologies, we can smile, remain silent, and go on our merry way to avoid the persecution of nonconformance. But with transgenderism, there will be nowhere to hide. Pronouns, anatomical references, and other components of language will force us to utter progressive shibboleths or face real-world consequences for our supposed intolerance. It's both a horrifying thought and yet an encouraging one. We could use a forcing function to clarify where our loyalties lie, and it requires those who wish to pander to the modern orthodoxy to utter words and phrases that they know make them sound utterly absurd. Good. let it be a deterrent for us as well. And let it force us to become real men, or, pardon me, real individuals with Adam's apples. This is Nick Nugent with Cross Politic News. You can find this and all Cross Politic shows at crosspolitic.com or on the Cross Politic app. Don't forget to register for the first annual Fight Laugh Feast Conference, which will be in Nashville, Tennessee from October 1st through the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. You're listening to the Fight Laugh Feast Network.